Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the round table as 411 Teen panelists, I welcome Camille Lewis. Camille is a graduate student. She's a second-year master's student at Florida A&M, majoring in community psychology. She has a 2-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son.
Greetings.
Glad to have you. Angelique Reed, also a second-year master's student in community psychology. She has a 1-year-old son, and she attends Florida A&M.
Hello.
Benjamin Paul. Benjamin is a recent graduate of Florida International. He received his master's in marketing, and he is the father of a 7-year-old daughter?
8-year-old.
8-year-old. Oh, 8-year-old daughter. Wow. Okay, all of you have your hands full.
And thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming. There are no easy answers to parenting. When one becomes a parent, life changes dramatically. Single parenting presents its own set of unique challenges. According to Kids Count, 35% of U.S. kids are being raised by single parents. So this hour, we are going to look at the demands and the responsibilities of single parenting. Share with me, each of you, your own story to single parenting. And I'm looking at you, Angelique. You're in the hot seat, so let's go.
All right. I did not intend on being a single parent. Me and my boyfriend were dating when I found out I was pregnant. But so far, it's been amazing because my son is awesome.
Okay.
Well, I also never had the intention necessarily of being a single parent, but the way life works out is that's the way it worked out. Me and my ex broke up, and I moved to Tallahassee about a year and a half ago. And the journey thus far as a single parent has been challenging at times. It's been exciting at times. I'm able to see a lot of growth in myself all of the time. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely been a journey that I'm accepting that I'm on.
Yeah, well, we want you to share all of those dynamics and issues and challenges. Joining me on the phone, I have Benjamin. Benjamin, what's your story?
Hey there. It's probably so many circumstances that came into play that led up to single parenting. But what I can say about it is just that my daughter's mother and I took different directions and had a different idea of how we wanted to parent our daughter. And she didn't put up any fight when I chose to step in full time. And that's just kind of the way it happened and the way it's been.
So you are the major parent responsible. Is that correct?
Yeah. Currently, we live in separate states.
Okay.
So my daughter lives with me.
Okay. Wow. More power to you. I mean, you're a special individual, believe me, and we applaud you. Why were you open to participating on this particular program and just sharing, you know, what you have experienced and where you've been?
Well, I'll speak on that. The reason I wanted to participate is because I'm a Black woman and I'm also a single mother. And I feel like there's a stereotype sometimes that goes along with this Black single woman. Rather, we are the reasons that we are single mothers, or whatever the stereotype is for that, or our position in life, our goals in life, what we had to sacrifice. And I always accept opportunities to dispel any stereotypes that society may have of single Black mothers.
Okay. Me personally, I felt like it's important for me to share my narrative. I feel like a lot of times, maybe my perspective, I feel like I haven't heard it from other single parents. So I feel like there's a certain story behind mine that needs to be told and it needs to be welcomed by the community, and we need to have certain conversations, regardless of if we're raising, you know, children to monogamously date or mm-hmm. or not. I mean, we need to have certain conversations with our children, with the ones that we love, and I feel like that's important.
And Benjamin?
For me, the thing is that I worked in, and during my undergrad, I worked at the college that I was attending, taking classes at. And I've heard every excuse that there was, because I was the one helping students to get enrolled. And I know that people have all kinds of excuses for why they don't go to school. So I guess my aim here is just to show people it can be done. I know a mm-hmm. lot of times when it was hard for me, my mother, she went through graduate school as a single mother of two kids. And I would look to her and say, well, if she could do it, I can do it. So I just want to be that person that people can say, if he could do it, I could do it.
Okay. Single parenting is your choice. Why did you choose single parenting? I mean, reality is you didn't have to have the kid, even after you got pregnant. You know, you don't have to have it. Why did you decide to go that route?
I believe that a child, my child is my responsibility. And I'm one of those people that believes that if the child is acting out, then it's something that the parent's not doing at home. At least to a certain extent. And so I just wanted to make sure that I can give my daughter everything that she needs to be as great as she can be. So I think that it's my responsibility to care. I understand it is a choice, but I choose to just take it as a responsibility. And I didn't consider it as an option.
Okay.
Angel. Me personally, I do not believe in abortion. Of course, I believe it is every woman's right to choose. However, me personally, I felt like if God felt like I was the person who was supposed to raise this little spirit, that is exactly what I was going to do. And I felt like I wasn't going to take away from the earth what my son is going to bring to it. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was more important than anything. And if I'm the vessel that he's supposed to come through, I feel like he was destined to be here.
So would you say that religion did play a role in your decision-making concerning your son?
Yes and no.
Oh, the reason I asked, because you said if God, and
yes.
So that's why I was...
Yes
I,
and
that's
no. What, I do feel like I'm a very spiritual person.
Okay.
But not specifically a religion mm-hmm. made me not want to, you know, raise my son. So.
Well, my story is a little bit different, but slightly the same. I had an abortion before I had my child, my first child, and I didn't like the feeling of dealing with that abortion. So I promised myself if I was to ever get pregnant again, I would have the child. And I got pregnant again, and I had the child.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Did religion have any... And this applies to you too, Benjamin. You're not here, so I can't see you. But mm-hmm. what variables, what influenced your decisions, I guess? What played a role in your final decision? You were saying that, you know, spirituality. Was there anything else that...
Definitely spirituality played a role. I believe that we're all energy vessels. And if an energy form, life form, can grow inside me, there has to be a purpose behind it. So I accepted, you know, I accept my children and their purpose for being in this world is one. Even though I may not know their purpose yet, I accept the divine intervention of just a child or a life. So spirituality has played a role in me keeping my children, and as well as the path that I'm choosing to take myself on and that my children are following me along on.
Benjamin.
Well, as a man, I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I knew that I had abandoned a child. Oh. So there was already, that bar was already set prior to having a child. Did religion play a role? I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do my best to live my life according to the principles that he laid out. So in that sense, yes, it did. It wasn't so specific to a child, but knowing what I have to do as a man and as a believer definitely played a role and didn't give me the option to consider something else.
What is the relationship with the biological, for you, father, and Benjamin, the biological mother? How have you maintained that, or what's the status of that relationship, given that you... Yeah.
Great.
She visited recently, and I hosted her. I do my best. I flew her out. So I do my best to support the relationship between her and her, my daughter and her mother. I do personally believe that it's a toxic relationship, at least on the mother's side. So I try to set boundaries so that it doesn't become chaotic. So our relationship is just that we're two completely different people with different ideas on pretty much everything. And so we bump heads. So when it comes to raising my daughter, I'm raising her a certain way and doing my best to keep their relationship without letting her mother, you know, destroy it,
okay,
for lack of better words.
Okay. My relationship with my son's father is very strained. We broke up, I would say, maybe a year and a half after I had given birth to my son. So we were together for a year and a half in total.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, let me backtrack. My son was 5 months when we broke up.
Okay.
So ever since we broke up, it's been strained. I expressed my want to go back to college and get my master's degree. And he openly said, I'm not taking my son anywhere because I'm from Jacksonville. So although, you know, I wanted to co-parent and be friendly and try to work things out in a productive manner, that's just not where we are. Of course, I'm hopeful that we will be eventually, mm-hmm, but we're just not there.
Okay. My relationship with my children's father is improving. It was strained at the beginning. Obviously, emotions were tied up into us splitting. But I think we both kind of recognize the things that we've been shown as children and things that we've been taught and the cycles that we would like to break. But we also recognize the cycles we were born into and that we only know what we know until we learn more or learn better.
Okay. Does he interact with the children?
Yes, he is very involved. He is... he sees my children. He's in Tampa, so my children go down there once a month for a week, and mm-hmm, then we rotate holidays, birthdays. We'll try to meet up and celebrate them together. So I, like Angelique, am looking forward to a more improved co-parenting relationship. But it's as time has gone on, and I think we've accepted our situation a little bit more, it's slowly improved.
Do you find that distance makes it easier or harder?
For me, it makes it easier.
Okay. And she's not there yet.
For me, it definitely makes it easier. Being in the same town, it wasn't healthy.
We need to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have Camille Lewis. I have Angelique Reed here, both in the studio and on the phone. I have Benjamin Paul. Benjamin, I had to interrupt you before you could finish. It's all yours.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's easier for me parenting, from out of town, just because all the back and forth is difficult during the week when we are sharing time. And then just the differences in the way we're raising our daughter. It's easier for me to do it from further away.
Okay.
And I do want to say that although it's easier for me, I think at times it's more difficult for my children because they are without a parent for an extended amount of time. And as I know other parents who co-parent in the same city, and for certain parents in certain situations, it seems to work out really well because both parents can be there during extracurricular activities or to be there at school events. So I do think there is a certain disadvantage to my children because we are in different cities.
Okay. Any other comments? What would you identify, and this is all of you, as major challenges of being in a single parenting situation? Go ahead.
I'll go.
Okay.
Well, major challenges is just that, well, I've felt that I've had to put a lot of opportunities aside or just turn down a lot of opportunities just because I'm not flexible. You know, I'm home, I'm with my daughter, and I can't go to places that I may be invited to go. So So with that being said, I think it's just turning down opportunities. I just had to decide early on that that wasn't going to be a big issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a challenge, you know, because sometimes these opportunities can provide, you know, financial benefits. And so I'm not as flexible even to earn money while raising a kid.
Okay.
I can echo that. I think my life choices has been challenging, knowing that now I have to plan my life around two children. And because my children are so young, there's only so many movements I can make with them at this age. So I think having, you know, your ideal life in your head or your ideal career in your head, just the steps that I have to take to get there, mm-hmm. I have to make sure that my children are still my focal point.
And when you say that, elaborate a little bit. When you say just the steps that you have to take, because what I want people to understand from this program is just really what it's like being a single parent in 2018. What are the demands? What are the challenges? What are the changes, you know, that you have to experience and your children have to experience?
Absolutely. So, we have a custody agreement set up through the court system, so I'm not allowed to move out of Florida unless I have his written permission that it's okay for me to move my children out of Florida. And as I'm looking at PhD programs that are fully funded in California and Michigan and New York and all these places that can offer me family housing and funding for a full PhD program, I may not be able to accept those funding options or even accept going to a university that I want to go to because of my custody agreement. So I'm limited to only attend school or to only further my career in one state.
Okay.
Yes, I can totally 100% agree. We are in the same master's program, and I'm trying to look into PhD programs. And it is difficult because I, too, have a custody agreement where I need written permission by the father of my child. Another one of the difficulties would have to definitely be like finances and navigating the court system because for the first year of me getting my master's, because I'm in my second year, so the first year there wasn't a lot of financial support, child support or anything. There was nothing in place, and the court systems, I had to tread lightly. I could get a job, however, that might hinder my court case. And, of course, for me, my son's—
I mean, explain that. What way, if you don't mind?
I had a lawyer, of course. So at the time where I decided to get my master's degree, I had told the father of my child way before. He knew that I did not enjoy what I was currently doing, and I told him I really would like to further my education. So he did not agree with me moving, but I got a scholarship by my mentor, who was amazing, and I moved anyway. And because of that, he said that he wasn't going to pay, you know, half of daycare. My son still has to eat. He still needs diapers, wipes, and clothes, and sweaters, and whatever else, rain boot, rain jackets. So my son still needs a quality of life, regardless of if the father of my child wanted to punish me for moving away. And I just want to, you know, further my education for my son.
Right.
So financially, it looked good if I could say that I'm not going to work while I'm going to school because I have more time with him.
Okay.
However, financially, that's not feasible.
Not realistic.
When I'm the only one in the house and it's just me and my son. So I have to make sure that the lights are on and rent is paid. So it's been a strain.
But you've maintained.
I did.
Okay. That's great.
It's much better, but yeah.
And Benjamin?
Well, one thing I'm currently dealing with right now is getting my daughter to gymnastics practice after school. So she's been in gymnastics for a couple years now. She's on team competing. And she gets out of school at 2. She needs to be at practice by 3. And I'm at work. So I'm working with other parents who have nannies and babysitters that pick their kids up from school to see if we can work out a carpool agreement. But that's just one of the many things that you run into when you're a single parent. You don't have the option to just look to the other parent and say, hey, you know, can you work it out in your schedule to pick them up if I can't?
Mm-hmm. You know, time becomes a precious commodity.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you manage your time?
Schedules. Creating a schedule, abiding by it. And for me, knowing that I need to study and that I need to keep my GPA up because my son is who I do it for. Sometimes I have to go inside his room at night. I know that I put him to bed at 8:30 and I have to be up until maybe 1 or 2 or maybe later studying to make sure that I maintain a certain GPA.
Mm-hmm.
So just sacrifices, creating a schedule that works for you and your child.
Yeah, that and also being flexible. I know we had a lot of study groups that went on at night. And
what would you all do with that?
I'm fortunate. I'm staying with my mother, so she's able to help me out a lot with childcare. And my extended family has been just an amazing part of my journey as being a single parent. But I know we've had times where there'll be a group studying in the living room and one person will be rocking the baby in the room. Or, you know, we make it work. So we, and I say we, talking about my cohort, and of course Angelique, because we're in the same cohort, where she's the person, if we need to study and my children have to be there, she's going to be understanding of the noise and the energy running around. Mm-hmm. Or if she needs to bring her baby, I have no issue bouncing him on my knee and feeding him while she gets some work done. Mm-hmm. Because we understand what it's like to be a single parent, and we understand what it's like to be a single parent in graduate school, and then we understand what it's like to be a single parent in graduate school working. So my support system has helped a lot with my schedule, or even just having somebody who understands where I'm coming from in the moment.
How do... Benjamin?
Well, for scheduling, it sometimes becomes a burden because I have to work things out with, you know, employers or wherever my obligations are. I know in undergrad, I had a supervisor who let me work through my lunch break just so that I could get off work earlier to pick up my daughter. So he would write down that I took a lunch at 12, but I would never take lunch. I didn't take lunch for maybe 6 months at that job when I was working full time. So working out schedules is pretty difficult. I know all my sick days go to picking up my daughter if she is, if I get a call from her at school. So I'll go to work sick and then use a sick day if she's sick. And things like that are kind of standard. I didn't have any support system. I don't have any family in town. We're out in Miami or now I live in Georgia now. I don't have family here either. So it was just me, you know, going to the school or doing whatever I had to do, you know.
What about peers and family members and parents? I mean, what kind of attitude have you encountered from them?
I'll lead the way.
Okay.
For my peers, it's different because some of them have children. So like Camille, it's easy for us to relate. Some of us, we might be the same age, but we do not have children and they don't understand the sacrifice that I make, or they don't understand the love that I have for my child and why I bring him up in every sentence, every conversation. You know,
right.
So
they're not parents.
They don't understand that.
That's it.
So, I mean, that could put some strain on some relationships if you have, you know, let's just say best friends who don't have children.
Exactly.
And they don't understand your perspective. So, I am thankful for like a Camille to be able to talk to about parenting issues. Parents and family members, I would say, I think it has a lot to do. There's some differing opinions because of the way I want to raise my son may be different from the way I was raised. And they might give me a little pushback when they say, Angelique, it was good enough for you. So why is it not good enough for your son?
Right, right.
And, you know, being respectful,
times have changed.
I'm not going to say how I really feel, but I love my family and they made certain sacrifices and there's certain sacrifices I'm going to make.
Okay. How did you all, and I'm just throwing these out there. It can be just kind of an ongoing kind of thing. Even parenting, how'd you learn to parent?
From our parents. And it's funny that you asked that because we had a conversation before the recording starts about how did, you know, why is single parenting the norm now? Why do we know so many single parents? And we were talking about how we were raised in single parent households.
Okay.
My mother was a single parent. My grandmother was married 5 times. My aunts, my uncles, you know, it was rare that I saw an intact marriage lasts for an extended amount of time. So
that's the norm.
And that's the norm. And as growing up, I pictured myself with children, but I pictured myself as a single mom. And this is when I was in elementary school. And I teach elementary school. So talking to, you know, young 7, 6, 7, 8 year olds, they will tell me, Ms. Lewis, I want to have kids, but I don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. because it's the norm in their household to be a single mother. So it's kind of like we were learned this and we're trying to unlearn it once we realize we repeated the same behavior.
Okay. Benjamin.
I remember growing up, I used to always make a mental note of what I didn't like and what I did like as far as how I was parented. And I didn't forget it. I remembered it. So when I got older, I already knew a lot of the things I didn't want to repeat. And I also knew the things that I wanted to hold on to that my mother showed me in her parenting.
But what about your peers? What about the bros? You know, man, you got to stay home, take care of kids. What's going on? You know, do you get that? I mean, how do they react to you?
Oh, my peers. Yeah, I've been invited, you know, to do, you know, so many things with friends. And it was always just the automatic response. No, I can't. I have harmony. And I guess people just got used to it and stopped inviting me.
Oh. That is so true. I don't get any invites to go out anywhere anymore.
Or they would say you could bring her, but it wouldn't be an environment I wanted to bring her in. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be a kid-friendly environment. Not that I go to environments that are not good.
Yeah.
But just not a kid-friendly environment. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it'll go late. I want her in bed at a certain time. So mm-hmm. things like that. Okay. And the times that I've compromised on that, you know, it was kind of bittersweet. I had her on a video shoot one time, and we were running late, and it was like 10 p.m., and she was about to cry, telling me I'm so sleepy, and I'm like, just sit over there, we're almost done. And I felt so horrible, you know. So normally I'll just say no to opportunities like that if they're gonna run late.
Do you all have social lives?
Not really.
I would say I have a social life.
Okay.
Yes. With the parenting agreement, it's getting to the point where I don't have all of the responsibility anymore. So now it's getting to the point where it's shared. So I have to create a social life because, you know, healthy mothers, healthy parents have healthy children. Right. So right. I have to make sure I'm mentally healthy and physically healthy mm-hmm. and make sure I'm good. And Camille helps a lot because she is definitely one to say, hey, let's go here. Or if we both have the kids, let's go to a park and mm-hmm. let's do something. So I would say I have a social life. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Moving to Tallahassee, I was very intentional about building a village around myself and around my children because I understood coming from a place where I had little support to a place where I had much more support, the importance of it. So I was very intentional with finding a mom's group. It's called M3 here in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And they have just been an integral part in introducing me to other moms who have children the same age as me. So we can do things like we went to yoga on Sunday and there were children running around, you know, the yoga room. Or, you know, there's just different activities that go on that involve children. So it's not I have to make that choice. Do I want to be with my children or be with my friends? But we can bring it all together and we can do both. We can hang out and have the kids around us and make this normal.
Do you feel that single parenting is a disadvantage?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Yeah, you could say it is a disadvantage. I don't think of it as any kind of special disadvantages. People have different kinds of mm-hmm. disadvantages. So I don't want to take it and call it a crutch. It is a disadvantage amongst many potential disadvantages. And that's how I look at it.
Okay. What about you? Do you find that it's a disadvantage? Because I would think, you know, and I'm not putting words in your mouth. Everything has some disadvantage to it. Even if it's positive, yeah. Okay? Even if you love it. I mean, I'm just wondering, do you see any disadvantages in single parenting?
For me, I would say that there's moments where I feel like it could be a disadvantage, especially during the first year where it was mostly just me being his caretaker. However, I feel like all of the list of advantages that I get from being his mother, like he drives me in a way that I barely could drive myself. So mm-hmm. after giving birth to him and having another life that I'm responsible for, it gave me a certain purpose to keep pushing forward or to be a better person and trying to give back to the community and, you know, teens and other people. So I would say that it's more of an advantage than a disadvantage.
Okay.
I think the biggest disadvantage is my children are missing out on seeing what a healthy, intact relationship looks like. That would probably be the biggest disadvantage for them, is that they have to live this split. I'm at mommy's house for the week. I'm at daddy's house for the week. Yeah. You know, and they have to understand that at a young age. But as far as myself, I'm in a better place now that I'm a single parent than I was when I was in the relationship. So for me personally, I would prefer to be a single parent versus the relationship that I was in prior.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that folks don't have to be in a relationship, especially if the relationship is a negative one.
Correct.
And it's not productive and
Correct.
It's not prosperous. It's better for children to be in that single parenting environment.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I am a firm believer that if you are in a toxic relationship or in a relationship with a toxic person, it may be better for your child just to see mm-hmm. one really great positive role model versus, you know, a mix of both or just a toxic relationship that they are going to repeat when they become adults.
Exactly.
You feel the same?
Yes, I definitely do. I personally felt like the relationship was not healthy. He felt the same and, mm-hmm. you know, we parted ways. And I feel like if we would have stayed together, although that was the first intended goal, I feel like it wouldn't have been positive for my son. And mm-hmm. I want him to at least see happy parents than to see a dysfunctional relationship and then have that affect his relationships.
You tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program. We are talking about single parenting. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour we are discussing, examining single parenting. I have three dynamic folks, all who are single parents. Benjamin, I'm going to turn this one to you. You are truly unique, okay? Now, that's just the reality of it, okay? Because usually fathers are discouraged, and they think of fathers as being, you know, derelict. They're not involved. So, again, I have to, first of all, applaud you with your raising your daughter as a single father. So, a lot of kudos.
Thank you.
Yeah. How has parenting changed your life?
Well, it stabilized my life. Before, I wouldn't stay anywhere for longer than 9 months. I would move from city to city, and I was chasing a music dream and doing performances in different states, and I was just trying to build on that. So when I had a child, I had to really figure out how to stay in one place and support myself. But it worked out for the better. I got back in school, went through, you know, 6 years of college. Now I just took a great job, the best job I've ever had, at a prestigious university in Georgia. And it's exciting. So it's just it was a very big turn of direction, but it helped me to settle down and make more, to go through a longer process to get to where I was trying to go, you know, and it's better for both of us, okay. I think.
What impact has it had on both of your lives?
I agree with everything Benjamin said. It definitely stabilized me. It reignited a passion of mine to, I guess, seek out my truth and seek out what I really want to do and to become a best version of myself, because I realized that my children are going to model what I do, or they do model mm-hmm. everything I do and say. So it made me very aware of just what I'm doing with my life and how I can better it so my children can just become good people.
Okay.
Yeah, I can definitely say that it has added purpose to my life. It mm-hmm. helps me add direction to my life, and it keeps me focused and grounded because I know the certain type of lifestyle I want to provide for my son. I know certain qualities that I want him to see. So it keeps me grounded. It keeps me focused.
Okay. Do you think single parenting is the norm today? For example, in the opening I mentioned that 35% of the kids in the United States are raised by single parents. 66% of African American children are in single parent homes, according to Kid Count. And I wanted to have you all respond to that. What do you think is going on? Why are we seeing this higher number, it's almost double, in African-American homes? Of course, one thing you touched on, Camille, was the role of the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what role do you think the extended family plays in African-American homes? Just, I want you to respond to that.
I think extended family provides a support system. So if a woman or a man was in a situation or in a relationship they didn't want to be in, they knew that they had a fallback plan.
Mm-hmm.
In my situation, I knew I had a fallback plan, and my mother made it clear that if I ever wanted to come home, I could. So I think, you know, not that they encourage single parents, but there's definitely options out there if you choose not to be in a relationship anymore. But I also think that it's what's shown to us. You know, it's what I saw growing up, and it's what I knew. And I didn't know how to have a functional relationship with children because I never saw that in my community. I never saw it in my family. You know, aside from the Cosbys, you know, it was TV land to me.
Okay. Benjamin? How do you feel? I mean, do you think it's the norm, or what's going on, particularly with African American? Okay,
maybe amongst African Americans it's the norm. You see, the statistics are a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made efforts to put my daughter in the best schools I could find, and so that ends up being that I put her in schools with a lot of Caucasians. Although there's a lot of diversity, you'd be surprised. But I put her in really good schools, and I'm seeing, you know, mothers and fathers all the time. I'm not seeing a lot of single parents in these schools.
Okay.
So in my experience, it's not the norm. I kind of feel like I stand out because I show up with my daughter by myself, and then I see a lot of complete families in the room.
Okay.
Maybe amongst African Americans, we see the statistics say that it's a lot more normal. And
mm-hmm.
I know that
it
there's
is.
Many. That's a long conversation because there's so many things that go into.
Oh,
the
yeah.
way, the reason why things are the way they are. I think it's just important for us to make decisions, make an individual decision rather than just saying, oh, that's how things are. And that's mm-hmm. what I did. And it honestly, it bothers me that so many people have comments about me being a single father, you know, not the fact that I'm a single father, but like, oh, wow, you're taking care of your kid. To me, it's unfortunate. So when I hear it, I'm kind of like, it's like bittersweet, you know, like, thanks, but it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be that everybody is so shocked when they see a father taking care of his kids,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I know it shouldn't be, but it is because yeah. You don't see it. That's why.
Well, you know when you get a new car and then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere? That's kind of how it is with me. Like,
okay.
I know plenty of fathers taking care of their kids, but I guess I'm the person who's looking for it.
Okay.
You know?
I can kind of mimic what Camille said in a way. In my upbringing, I do feel as though it has been normalized, a single mm-hmm. parent household. On my mother's side, most of my aunts, uncles, everyone, like, it was the mother who was taking care of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And on my father's side, they were married. However, it wasn't always the best display of a healthy and happy relationship. And I, of course, when I decided to give birth to my son, I was in a relationship and I was hoping that it would have ended in a great example for my son for when he gets older, because I still want a happy, healthy relationship.
Okay.
I want my son to find a wonderful woman when he gets older. So, I would love to lead by example. However, I'm still seeking ways to continue good relationships with people. So whether I'm getting better at communicating or whatever it is, I think that is important to continue to teach so that we don't keep perpetuating the same things over and over. Because it's not my goal to always be a single parent.
Okay. I'm glad you said, because I was going to get to that at some point. Okay. So you do see or hope that you will be in a very viable, you know, relationship at some point.
Yeah, one day. One day. I hope to fall in love again and, you know, we raise our children together and it'd be great.
Some say that single parenting also has its positives. In this last segment, we've got about 10 minutes. I would like us to look at some of the positives of single parenting, the positives for the parents and the positives for the children, because there are positives there. So share with us your positive, Camille.
A positive for my children is they get to see a parent chase their dreams, and they get to see a parent live their best life. And they get to see a parent know that, you know, happiness for yourself is important. So hopefully they learn that lesson. Positive aspects for me, because I do have shared custody, I am a mom of two young, energetic toddlers. So I get a break from I guess, being a mom, and I get to relax and I have mom free days, which I know some of my mother friends who are married, you know, don't have that extended break from their children. So that is something I appreciate.
I can definitely agree that I get some mom free days to where, you know, I send my child with his father and hope for the best. So I appreciate the child free days. I appreciate the mental clarity. I appreciate not having to hold a relationship together if that is the role that I play in a relationship. So I appreciate the mental clarity, and I'm hoping that my son sees the happiness and how I cultivate him being a happy child. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that continues to go throughout his childhood, that he sees that that is important.
Benjamin, you don't have the extended family. From what I hear, it sounds like you're very much on your own. How do you manage?
That's true.
Yeah. How do you manage, and what are the positives that may exist for you?
Well, I manage with a plan. So everything's planned out ahead of time. The school year just started, and my daughter started a new school. So we had to plan out all the extracurricular activities and work out the schedule around my job. And it worked out fine. So I think that with the right planning, we just make it work. And so that's how it works. I get off, you know, in the evening, and then I'm there to pick her up from the extracurricular activity, so she doesn't see an absence. I don't think that it's hard to find positives. It's fun raising a child. This might sound bad, but maybe one of the positives is that there's no one to second guess.
Yeah, that's definitely that I make. A positive.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I appreciate that. You know, in a lot of other households, if the child doesn't like what the dad says, they go to the mom.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
And I know that it would be like that if her mother was more present. It would definitely be like that in my situation as well. So I definitely appreciate that I can kind of just lay the law down, and that's what it is. And I have a really good kid, so it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's not hard like people would assume.
Mm-hmm. You know, research, when you look at research on single parenting, they always identify the increased risk. Mm-hmm. There's physical risk and behavioral risk and emotional issues. And I wanted to have you all speak to that or address that from your perspective. Are you, you know, sitting on the edge of the chair worrying about, you know, what may impact your child? Will they be risked? For example, finances are always a big deal in single parenting. Because you know, if there's two, then you got two incomes coming in. And finances, that's like opening up a whole can of worms. Because, you know, if you live in a poor neighborhood, then you go to poor schools and you have poor education, then, you know, the risk of safety. So anyhow, I can go on and on, but let me have you do it.
I definitely think there's some risks that I worry about, finances being one. So when Benjamin talked about planning, kind of planning your life around your child, I do that. So I make sure that I'm always in the position where my children can have access to resources that can help them prosper. A risk, because I am raising a boy and he's a young black male, is the impact of not having a stable male figure in the household, mm-hmm. what that will have on him and how that will affect him, because his father also, his father's father was absent from his household.
Okay.
So that kind of matriculated down. So that is always a concern for me, is making sure.
How do you address that? I mean,
he goes to a preschool that has male role models. I had him in Taekwondo with a black male teacher. My brother, his uncle, and I just try to, he's around my father a lot, so he has his grandfather kind of as a male figure in his life. So I try to put him in positions where he is surrounded by black positive male role models.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with my daughter, because it's equally important.
So again, we go back to that extended family,
mm-hmm.
okay, that I said is so present in Hispanics and African-American homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mine's not going to sound as positive. However, mm-hmm. I am very concerned about my son's mental health and the way that he will perceive certain relationships. Just based on how my relationship was with the father of my child, I'm concerned that some of the ways that he thinks about women might mirror his father's. So that is a concern for me. And of course, like Camille said about having active role models, I'm still seeking those out. So I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic.
How do you go about identifying that? You say you're seeking those out.
The opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's only one mm-hmm. as of right now. Mm-hmm. So I do try to make sure that he's in good daycares, and I will put him in definitely some sports. He's very athletic for a one-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so I'll make sure that he is in sports. I know that his father loves doing sports with him. So he'll be doing sports. He'll have coaches. And there's a certain type of lifestyle I want him to do, you know, piano lessons, whatever he wants to do. And make sure I have some positive role models for him. And my father is active. So he okay. retires at the end of this year so mm-hmm. that he can have more trips with his grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful for that.
Okay. And Benjamin?
We're talking about risk, right?
Yes.
Having a little girl, I think, mm-hmm. presents a... I'm very proactive because I understand I have a little girl and she's beautiful. So everybody wants to have a piece of her in mm-hmm. some way, shape, or form. So I watch her like a hawk. I took her to a cookout one time, and in seconds, another little boy tried to push her up on the fence and give her a kiss when she was like 5 years old, you know, and I had to separate that. But that was the only parent who saw it happen. And I can name, you know, many, many stories like that where I've just kind of been the only parent watching. But I think that being proactive is a way to reduce the risk. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of a risk involved, but like I said earlier, you know, we plan things out, and I try to keep her in organized functions that kind of just minimize the opportunity for risk. I don't let her go to people's houses. That's mm-hmm. another thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just extra cautious. I think that's the way I've been playing it, at least now. She's only 8, so I plan to keep it like that for a while.
Okay. Single parenting is truly stressful. And it gets a bad rap. I mean, regardless of how we sit here and talk about it, it does get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it gets a bad rap? And what can you do to change that?
Well, I can speak. I feel like the stereotype, just again, I'm speaking mm-hmm. from the position of a black woman, is that if you're a single mother, you're poor, you're uneducated, you made poor choices in a partner or poor choices in relationship, you may not be the most emotionally intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the image of single parents having those qualities is what gives it a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to exemplify those qualities.
Okay. Benjamin, I'm going to go to you next, and then I'll come to you because we only have a minute and I want to get a male perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ask me the question one more time.
Well,
sorry.
Just single parenting. I said it's really a stressful.
It has a bad rap.
And it has a bad rap. Uh-huh.
I think the reason why it gets a bad rap is because you're not showing your kids how to have a healthy dynamic in the home. So, I mean, choosing to be a single parent, if that's your choice, and versus working out a healthy relationship, I think can be destructive. And I think it's better to have a complete family, a mother, a father, and child. I think that's way better than single parenting. So for that reason, I think That's why single parenting gets a bad rep. You're only giving the child half of the story. You know, we do our best, but the statistics will show you that single parent household children have a much higher risk for, you know, prison and all these other things. You know, I think that's why statistics alone will give it a bad rep.
That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. To my listening audience, thank you for your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. "411 Teen" was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.